Yet you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to give us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. Where are we going up? Our brothers have made our hearts melt, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. And besides, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there. Then I said to you, do not be in dread or afraid of them. The Lord your God, who goes before you, will himself fight for you, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness, where you've seen how the Lord your God carried you, as a man carries his son, all the way that you went until you came to this place. Yet in spite of this word, you did not believe the Lord your God, who went before you in the way to seek you out a place to pitch your tents, in fire by night and in cloud by day, to show you by what way you should go. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we were still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we might be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee.
Well, thanks, Ashton, Rach, and Xander. So good to have you reading the Word of God. Welcome to you from wherever you are watching today. Hope today you are experiencing the peace of God. I know it's a hard time. Isolation and restrictions have an impact on all of us in many different ways. I want to remind you that even while we've been physically distanced, we are not socially nor spiritually isolated. We are the church together. You know, as we look around, people don't need more hype. People don't need more hate. People need hope. And hope lives here, in the very Word of God that we have in the Bible and in the family of the church. I want to start reading over you before we pray. Romans 15:13, it says this, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Church, let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are the God of hope. And we thank you that you fill us with all joy and peace as we trust in you. Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to overflow with hope. Hope that is seen, hope that is tangible, hope that is authentic, not manufactured out of our own strength, but by the power of your Holy Spirit in us. Lord, as we open your word today, source of hope, life, and wisdom, Lord, would you prepare our hearts? Speak to us today in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Today I want to talk about tents. You might have noticed both of those passages, one from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, one from 2 Corinthians 5, that it talked about tents. I've got a tent behind me. Yes, it's a humble tent. It's our beach tent. It serves our family well. But I thought, hey, that would help us. So we got a tent. It's held down with tent pegs. We're going to talk about tents as our metaphor today. But I want to tell you a story. Years ago, before I was a pastor of a church, I was a secondary school teacher. And I got to go on all the great fun camps with students. So we went to Forest. One of the activities we were going to do was mountain bike riding. There's great trails around there. Forest is about an hour and 40 minutes from Warrnambool. Beautiful place, beautiful tracks, beautiful forest, as the name denotes. So we're down there and students are partnered and they've got their tents. And they're pulling out all their tents, and I'm there, Mr. Smock, and I've got my swag. And the kids are kind of looking at me, laughing at my little tent. I'm like, hey, swags are epic. If you know, you know, right? So they've got their little tandem tents, and they're figuring out where to put their tents. Now, the other teacher, his name is Brad. He's a legend. Shout out to Brad. He was there with me, And we're kind of trying to guide the students on where they should put their tent. Hey, don't put it somewhere too low-lying. And what we knew is actually there was a storm front coming. So we're like, whatever's going to happen, we're in for a pretty rough night. Put your tent somewhere high, somewhere clear, peg the thing down. Okay, then I get to choose my spot. And of course, there are students that listened to us and there are students that didn't. Some put theirs very low-lying, some hardly pegged theirs down at all. I mean, just shallow one tap. And hey, teachable moments, right? So I put my swag in the lee of a big shrub where, you know, the weather's coming. Hopefully I'll get a bit of cover, but there's no branches going to fall on me. And I set up my swag, and about 9 o'clock, we're all in our tents and the storm rolls in. And it bucketed down. It was crazy. It was so loud that I called my wife, Elise, had my phone. Neither of us could hear each other. All we could hear was like this, like torrential hitting the top of the swag canopy above me. And within not very long, of course, I had to get up because we had a tent that collapsed. One of the students, we had a tent where the back came up because I didn't peg it down. We had tents. Everyone was a little bit wet, but we had students who were absolutely flooded. Tents are great, but there's something about tents that I'm going to talk about today. In Deuteronomy, the first passage that Ashton read, we find the Israelites living in tents, and it's been 40 years wandering the desert. Today is the wrap-up of our series from the book of Exodus, and you're like, why are you preaching from Deuteronomy? Well, if you remember, we talked about the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, the Pentateuch, as being experienced, not standing alone, but as a symphony, actually in the way that we experience the whole of God's Word as it links all together and tells this amazing story of God's plan for all of us. So, the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And this is where we are. And just a little context, these are the Israelites who were in Egypt under slavery and captivity 430 years. And this whole series has been about the Israelites needing saving then, just as we needed saving before we met Jesus. We also experience moments in this life where we need God to save us. So while He's won the war and bought us eternal life through Jesus, there are still battles, there are still troubles that we face. But as I said, we don't need hype. We don't want hate. We need hope. And that hope is that God saves us through Jesus, saves us from all the pain of the temporary. I'm going to talk about that thought, but today my title is Temporary Tents. Tents are meant to be temporary. Think about when you go camping. Like, tents are temporary. I don't know what you do. What are your customs when you go camping? Maybe you're just like, camping, if it's not glamping, I'm not doing it. And even then, I'm not doing it full stop. But you know what? You've got your fire. Maybe you make damper. Maybe dad goes out and chooses the spot. He's like, yep, this is where we're going to put the tent, guys. And for some reason, sometimes men, when they're doing manly things, like, our voices get deeper because we've got to be manly. Or mum chooses the side of the tent. Or maybe they give you that responsibility and you get to choose where you are going to put your tent. But they're meant to be temporary. They're our home away from home, in a sense of where we live and gives us a bit of shelter while we're away for a temporary time. We're not truly home. Look, unless you are part of the Bedouin tribe, you know, the Middle East, North Africa, who are nomads, who move around, live in tents, whose wealth and stature is in their livestock that they have. But for most people, tents are temporary. Deuteronomy 1:33, Moses is preaching to the Israelites. And this is a new generation of Israelite who have been in the wilderness for 40 years. Most of the generation who came out of Egypt originally have actually passed away. And Moses is telling the story of what happened those 40 years ago. He says this in verse 33. God, who went before you in the way to seek you out a place to pitch your tents, in fire by night and in the cloud by day, to show you by what way you should go." So he's saying this. But then we hear about the Israelites' attitude as they navigated this exodus from Egypt, all that God miraculously did, which we heard about 2 weeks ago, and then this time in the wilderness, which they didn't actually need to go through. We're going to talk about that too. But in Deuteronomy 1:27, just a few verses before 33, it says this, "And you murmured in your tents and said," listen to this, "because the Lord hated us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to give us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us." Now this was, they were on the verge again, as we'll hear, of the promised land. But there were some scary people in the promised land. But you kind of got to stop and go, "Hey, Israelites, why don't you remember what God has already done?" Sometimes we need to say to ourselves and say to each other, why don't we remember? I wonder if you know the rearview mirror analogy. Let's imagine your life is a car. A car is set up that looking forward, there's a big windscreen so you can see a lot and you can see far. But you also have a little rearview mirror, which is important, so you can see kind of where you've been and what might be coming up behind you. I mean, it seems to me that the Israelites really needed a bigger rearview mirror. They were looking ahead largely in the promise and vision of the promised land that God was giving them. His promise to them was this inheritance. And yet they couldn't remember really, it seems like, anything about what God had done. They were kind of going, "God hates us, so we'd be better off in slavery, death, and captivity back in Egypt," which just seems crazy. And yet we do that. Actually, you know, we talked about these first five books being a symphony. Numbers 14:2 says this. This is going back earlier. "All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, 'If only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness.'" This is when they see the obstacles in the promised land ahead of them. You know, Jesus has saved us, but he did say in this life we will have trouble. These tents are temporary. We experience pain, but in looking forward, we realize that God has saved us from all of this. And when we live in light of that perspective, wow, our faith, our hope rises. The Israelites, just like us, needed a bigger rearview mirror to remember what God had done, as well as just how bad it was in Egypt. What do we need? We need a memory of the hard times, which God wants to heal us of if we have hurts, but an even greater memory of how he saved us. Some people don't want to remember anything because it hurts, and it does, and it's hard. But we learn and we see where God saved. We need to remember Jesus every day. Tents are temporary. On our journey, there are times when we have deep roots in a place, and other times God will call us to be on the move. And it feels weird, but this is not home for us. Just as a tent, when you're in it, is not your average normal home. Okay, number one, tents are meant to be temporary. I've said this a couple of times, temporary tents. Tents are meant to be temporary. You know, the Israelites were meant to be in temporary tents for 1 year, which became 40 years. They didn't get into the promised land until there was a whole new generation. In fact, Moses himself, who's 120 years old, when he preaches this message at the start of Deuteronomy, he himself doesn't see the promised land. And actually, we know that no one under the age of 59 actually saw the promised land, a whole new generation. And there was a lack of hope, a lack of faith in what God could do due to their unbelief, which is a sin. We can do the same thing. where God meant us to temporarily stay for a short amount of time becomes an extended period of time because of our lack of belief. And that sin can cost a lot. The Israelites didn't take the promised land a year out of captivity from Egypt because they didn't believe. They were scared of what's in front, worried, Lord, that you won't do what you said you are going to do. But we know that God is faithful. His word tells us time and time and time again. And even in that first opportunity to walk into the promised land, they had already forgotten what God miraculously did. He tore apart the seas, defeated the largest army of the day, the Egyptians, and saved them. And a year later, they saw the next obstacle, and they had already forgotten. When God presented them with what was promised, it still contained obstacles, and they didn't have the faith to take it. What does that mean? Maybe you felt like this year was like your promised land. You started it hopeful and healthy. Now you're battered and bruised and so tired. Maybe you prayed for this relationship and now I find it contains obstacles and little battles and things that I have to fight and actually do some work. Maybe God wants to do some work in you. It starts in your heart. I got the job, position I wanted, but it's harder than I thought. I lost the job due to COVID. I started this business not to make money, but to address a problem, to help people, bless the church, bless the poor, the hurting, the lost. Now it's so financially tight due to COVID, it's a huge burden. Don't forget what God did to get you there. Seek Him again. Trust Him. Pray about it. Remember where God saved you before and walk forward in faith. Psalm 106, you know, all through the Bible, this stuff's recorded. Psalm 106:25 is still talking about the Israelites because it's such an impactful lesson. They grumbled in their tents and did not obey God. Just because you're in a temporary tent, don't allow that to take you to a place where you start grumbling, then you become cynical, then you start disbelieving, then you start not even obeying God. You know, when we do that, it exhibits little faith in believing how God works in our daily lives. He is present in all. There is nothing that passes beneath His gaze and nothing He is not sovereign over. Paul in Philippians 2:14 says this, stop grumbling or complaining. That's not easy. We all love a good grumble, but we need to learn a lesson. Sometimes what we're effectively saying is like, Lord, I don't like how you saved me. I want to lose the freedom you bought for me, miraculously tearing apart the seas or sending your son to die on a cross for me. I want to go back into captivity. Be aware of how you speak about what God has done and your daily life. You know, tents are temporary, but sometimes our unbelief, lack of trust, lack of surrender can extend the length of time we're in them. Number two. All right, let's keep going. Tents need tent pegs. You know, God was showing the Israelites where to put their temporary tents. And tent pegs fix where our tent is. They're a good thing for a time, especially when oppressive elements come, like those students who didn't peg their tent in. That wind, that rain came and like part of the tent flipped up or like the whole thing just rolled down a hill. Pegs are necessary. Where we peg our tent, be it our temporary dwelling or this temporary body, which we're going to learn about, that was the second reading from 2 Corinthians 5, it can be problematic. We need that foundation, but when God says it's time to move, grow, change, those tent pegs can keep us somewhere He has not meant us to stay. The Israelites had 1 year to claim God's promise for them, turned in to 40 because they were scared of the things they could see, the situations, the obstacles, the people. They kept saying, we had it better back there. The tent pegs we left behind, anchoring them not to God and faith and hope, but to their past. They had tent pegs left in Egypt. Now they wanted to swap the current tents they were in for bricks and mortar again, but had forgotten how horrific Egypt was for them and what God had miraculously done to save them. You know, sometimes these anchors to our past, we're inclined to leave them there because it hurts to go and dig them out again and then to go through the process of healing. But you know what? When we don't do that, it pins us, it anchors us back there. So we need to remove them. And even if dirt, soil, hurt, messiness comes out, we need to surrender them. Believe for God to heal, to give breakthrough in that space, to learn the lessons, to grow, mature, make better decisions next time. Sometimes we've got to look in the rearview mirror, go back, dig out these old tent pegs, these old anchors from what was meant to be temporary, and allow God to heal us from it. I'm going to come back in that. Talked about the whole symphony of the Bible. The reality is that everything goes further in Jesus. So point three, temporary tents need surrendering. In 2 Corinthians 5, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. And verse 2 says this, "For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling." Just want to explain this. The real you is not your body, but your spirit. If we go right back to Genesis, God formed us out of the dust. But at that point, we were just a statue, no life in us. That was just this temporary tent, this temporary dwelling that we have. And then God breathed life into Adam's nostrils, and he became a living soul. Our spirit, our soul is truly who we are. This physical form, this temporary tent, has its purpose. We express through it what we feel, our actions, our words, our expressions. So much of our experience is based in these tents, my physical interaction. But your body is not you. It is a tent that you live in for a time. And everything to do with earthly tents will end. You know, that's good. Because Paul is saying when the word groan is used, it's the Greek word stenazo, which means we groan. It's a groaning of sorrow under a heavy load while in this temporary body. And it is hard. It is hard whilst in this temporary tent. It has limitations. We experience pain. But Jesus saves us from all the pain of this temporary tent and life in the promise of a future everlasting life. You might say, I'm in pain now. The pain I've experienced mars and marks me now. How does that help me? I'm stuck here. Yes, you are. But Paul is saying, 2 Corinthians 5, that faith in what is to come is what gives us hope and perseverance. God did the miraculous in saving the Egyptians, and God miraculously heals today if we trust even the dirty old tent pegs and anchors to Him. We surrender them and move forward. The promise of everlasting life out of this temporary tent into a promised land, a home in heaven, is what we're promised in Jesus Christ. Paul says, we've been made new, new life in Christ. Sometimes we're tempted to look back at an old life that looks solid, even though you were living in captivity. We were living in captivity to sin, something that kept us captive, just like the Israelites under the Egyptians. Sin that through unbelief will rob you of hope, peace, freedom, and life. New life that is shaky in ourselves and these temporary tents, but certain in Jesus Christ. Peace and hope and joy overflowing from the God of hope and the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Certainty through Jesus of heaven. Matthew Henry, biblical commentator, scholar, theologian, says this of heaven. What heaven is in the eye and hope of a believer? He looks upon it as a house or habitation, a dwelling place, a resting place, a hiding place, our Father's house, where there are many mansions and our everlasting home. It is a house in the heavens, in that high and holy place, which is far excels all the palaces of this earth, as the heavens are high above the earth. It is a building of God, whose builder and maker is God, and therefore is worthy of its author. The happiness of the future state is what God has prepared for those that love Him. It is eternal in the heavens, everlasting habitations, not like the earthly temporary tents, the poor cottages of clay in which our souls now dwell, which are moldering and decaying, and whose foundations are in the dust. Wow. Hope in what is promised. In the next 2 weeks, we're going to have interviews with our mission partners, and I hope you will join us. It's so faith building. You know, I think quite often we're able to bless them, but the more abundant blessing is actually what we get back from our interactions with them, the stories that build faith. After that, we're talking about who we are as the church. We are a body of believers. We are a family on mission. God has given us this mission. He has equipped us and empowered us for this mission. And there are missional outcomes from this idea of temporary tents. When we don't live into our freedom in Christ, our world becomes small. We get so insular. We get so internalized, either as the church looking just inside, or actually as individuals just looking inside ourselves all the time. This series has shown us how God stepped into our own Egypt, freed us from slavery to sin, offense, unforgiveness, and He has given us life and freedom in Jesus Christ. But as Karen said, as she preached so well last week, the past can be seductive. It draws us back even while it was so destructive. But we look back, we're like, better we were there, better we died back there. No. Don't let the past seduce you. Both stop the release, the surrender to God of past tent plagues. And they extend the placing of new ones for a brighter future. When we're not healed of the anchors and tent pegs from the past, when we want to go back to a destructive past, or we haven't actually allowed God to heal us of it. It stops the removal of those pegs, and it also stops us from taking new ones and taking new ground, stepping into new opportunities, embracing new people, because we're not fully free. Hurt people hurt people. And when we pull out these tent pegs, they have dirt on them. And if we don't get rid of that, if we don't allow God to heal us, then they're harder to drive in next time that we want to take ground, we want to do something new, we want to be obedient to God. Look in the rearview mirror, process some of that hurt with God. Be healed, surrender it, let it go. Walk forward in freedom. Now the challenge out of this, as I wrap up, we need to be honest and deal with our own stuff, because it's stopping us from becoming who God made us to be and helping the very people we're called to help. You know, not making renovations to make room for what God has for us. Knocking out some walls. We need help. Which ones are structural? Which ones can I knock out? Which ones is God saying, no, you know, get help from a professional. Get help from your community. The church is there to give you biblical and prayerful counsel from wise followers of Jesus. Pastors, elders. And then we can extend that if we need to professional Christian counselors. They are there to help us to learn, but to move on from these things that have caused us pain and hurts that we might have been carrying. Staying in a place, you know, rather than 1 year, we've been there for 40, and it has stuck us where God is actually saying, I want you to go forward. We're anchored to our hurt rather than the healing we can have in Jesus Christ. Remember and process well with positive outcomes. You know, we can have a hope from lessons learned in trial, hope from how God through Jesus saved, did save, has saved, is saving, will save, fearing and trusting God above the obstacles we see. The whole Bible fulfilled in Jesus is a lesson in remaining free. Freedom is what he bought for you. We need to understand how these stories, principles, promises apply to us, to our past, to our present, to our future. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. You know, the tent, these temporary tents, will constantly try to hold us back and take us backwards, stopping expansion, holding on to hurts, keeping us stuck way longer than God ever meant. The Apostle Paul writes, I want to close with this, in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 to 18. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. The key to navigating this temporary life in temporary tents is to surrender everything to God and live by faith in the reality of a promised and eternal future with Him. That is where our hope comes from. That is why God sent His one and only Son to die for you and me, to rescue us from sin, slavery, captivity, and death by our belief in him. Choose belief today.
If you've met with Jesus for the first time or maybe heard about him for the first time today, we want to give you the opportunity to say yes to following him right now, to take that next step into your relationship with Jesus. Would you repeat this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I know that you're a savior. And I know that you love me. I choose to follow you. From this moment forward, be my God and my friend. Be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for calling me and accepting me. Thank you for dying on the cross so that I could have life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, we want you to know that there is a party happening in heaven for you right now, and we are celebrating with you. We are so excited. We would love to connect with you if you've prayed that prayer and to hear about what God is doing and has done in your life today. You can email us at prayerandcare@gatewaycoc.com.au or send us a message on our Facebook page here. We would love to be praying with and for you for this amazing life decision that you've made.